Our scripture lesson comes today from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 45. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsmen and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and let us all say, amen. There was a husband and wife who came home one day, and there was a cat sitting on their porch. They didn't have a cat. They didn't want a cat. But they said, don't feed the cat. But the next day, the cat was still there. And the next day, the cat was still there. So finally, the husband says, I'm going to do something about this cat. He takes it, puts it in his car, and he drives 3 blocks away, puts the cat out of the car, and then drives home. And there on the porch was the cat. So he says, I'll show him. And he takes the cat, and he drives 2 miles away. And he puts the cat out. Shuts the door real quick, and he drives home. And by the time he arrives at home, on the porch is the same cat. So he's thinking, wait a minute, this is crazy. Puts the cat back in the car. And this time, he just drives willy-nilly. He doesn't even think about where he's going. He just turns left, right, drives some miles, left, right. He finally lets the cat out. He shuts the door quickly. He starts to make his way back. Today is the last Sunday of our sermon series that we've been talking about, Not a Silent Night. And it's interesting, the scripture lesson that we have today is the only story from Jesus' childhood. Think about it. We have Jesus as a little baby. And then we have Jesus beginning his ministry, but the only story of his childhood is this story about the time and the trip to the Passover in Jerusalem. We think, obviously, Mary must have thought of this as an important story. She must have told this story over and over again. So Luke writes it down in his gospel. But the question is, why? Why out of all of the 144 months of his childhood and 576 weeks of his childhood, why did she choose this story as being so important? I've got a few suggestions. I think, first of all, because of the way that it affected Mary, it was traumatic. It was a traumatic story to hear. We probably have all of us those kind of stories about our family. Either we're a parent or a grandparent who's got a child who's been lost or done something crazy, and it just traumatically affected us. For me, I was the kid in the story. There was a time when my dad, who owned apartment buildings, I was working with my dad, and we were working on the apartment building, and my dad was hammering. And he hammered something, and the handle or the top of the hammer came off and smacked him in his mouth, split his lip right open, blood everywhere, and it was horrible. And I just felt so bad for my dad. And my dad says, son, you keep working, and I'm going to go to the hospital, and I'm going to go get some stitches. Now, I wasn't even 12 years old. I was probably 10 years old. Had no idea where I'm at or anything like that. All I knew, my dad's blood was everywhere, and he's going to leave me, and I didn't know if he's going to be all right or anything. And it was a traumatic experience for me. It seemed like he was gone for like 12 hours, but probably couldn't have been much more than 4 hours. So here's Mary and Joseph. They're going to Jerusalem for Passover, and there are estimated 300,000 visitors to the city that time. Along with them are many of the people from Galilee. And they're getting ready to go back home, and there's a huge caravan. I imagine that there's cousins and aunts and uncles, and everybody from Galilee is maybe traveling together on this four-day journey back home. Perhaps Mary's in one part of the caravan with the women, and Joseph is in another part with the men, and Mary sends word up to Joseph, Joseph, how's Jesus doing? And Joseph sends word back and says, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Jesus is with you, Mary. And all of a sudden, Mary's like, what? Here's what I would imagine it as. Imagine you and I were taking a day trip all the way to California. We started in Indianapolis, and we drove all the way to Des Moines, Iowa, okay? That's 9 hours away. We get to Des Moines, Iowa, and then all of a sudden we realize that we don't have Jesus. We have to travel all the way back in order to find him. Well, that's kind of what it would be like. They were 9 hours away. And they're frantic trying to figure out how in the world are we going to find Jesus with no cell phones. How are we going to find him? We don't know where he's at. So they go all the way back to Jerusalem and they search for how many days? 3 days. They go to every family member's house. They can't find him. They go to every relative's house. They can't find him. They go to the hospitals. They can't find him. They even go to the morgue. And they're probably praying, Lord, please don't let us find him here. And finally, they find Jesus in the temple. And when they find him, this is what the scripture says in Luke 2, verse 48. And when they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking for you, what? Anxiously. That word anxiously doesn't mean just like, oh, we were a little concerned. It means that they were going out of their mind. It's also the word used in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember, the rich man goes to hell, and he uses the word anxiously to describe that experience of hell. So it's like Mary saying, Jesus, you put us through a living hell. Now, when you think about Mary and Christmas and raising Jesus, a lot of times we think, Mary had it so easy. Oh, my gosh. If only I could just be like Mary and have such a wonderful child like Jesus who never did anything wrong and everything would be so perfect. If only my kids could be as good as Jesus. But what this story reminds us is that life is a struggle. No matter how wonderful you are, no matter how committed we are, no matter how much we believe in God, no matter how strong our relationships are, life is a struggle. This series is called Not a Silent Night because Christmas was not just this perfect silent night where everything went right. There will always be joy and struggle. There will always be hills and valleys. And it's the same way when it comes to birth. Just think about it. There's that struggle and then there's that joy. There's a struggle and there's a pain that I personally don't know, but I've been told is absolutely tremendous. And yet the joy of holding your child is incredible. And for fathers, we get to be a part of it too. There's great joy as well as great struggle. There's struggle and wondering and hoping that your child is going to do the right thing and that they're going to grow up strong and they won't be bullied and they won't bully others and that the police won't be called to your house ever. And yet there's also great joy and pain when sometimes things don't work out the way we would hope that they do. I don't know if you all know this, but before I had kids, I had a full head of hair. Becca, maybe you can just see pictures of me with all this hair, right? After you were born, it started going away. I don't know. There's joy in their struggle. And the question is, what do we as parents and grandparents do? I think the first thing that we can do is set an example. Set an example for our children. And then the second thing is pray for them. And then the third thing is love them well. Love them well. And guess what? In the end, it often turns out okay. In the end, things often work out. And here's an example for it. Look at you. Look at you. There are some of you who raised hell when you were growing up. There are some of you who your parents were struggling with you and saying, oh, what am I going to do with you? And now here you are today at church and no one made you come. What happens is it often turns out well. They found Jesus on the third day. Now, if you think about this with me for a moment, what other important thing happened in Jesus' life on the third day? Anybody remember? He rose from the dead. It's the resurrection. Luke is pointing us down the road to something else. For 3 days, his parents thought that Jesus was lost. They thought he was gone, but it turned out okay. And I think that part of the message is with us that no matter how dark the days get, the third day is always coming. When we put our faith and our hope in Jesus Christ, ultimately, in the end, everything is going to be all right. The third day will always come. And here's how we know this. It says in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the what? Good. Those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Here's the second reason why Mary might have told this story. The first, it was traumatic to her, but the second is because this story was defining of who Jesus was. Going through tough experiences shapes us. It helps to form our identity. Let me go back again when my dad left me, and here I am at this apartment all alone, wondering about what my dad was going through. That was tough, but I honestly believe that that shaped who I am today. Part of the reason I'm standing right here today is because of that experience. I now have a deep sense of empathy. I literally feel other people's pain. Maybe some of you have been at the hospital and I've come and visited you and you try to tell me about your surgery or what you're going through. I can't even hear it. I start to change colors. I get a little green. There's been some of you that I've literally told, okay, scoot over in the hospital bed. I need to lay down. I just can't. Woo! It's too much. Can't take it. I have a deep sense of empathy. But there's something else that I gained from that experience. I was alone. And so now all of a sudden I realized the power of the ministry of presence. Do you know that you don't have to have all the right words to say? Sometimes just being there is enough. Do you know that you don't have to remember the scripture or the reference point or the creed or anything like that? Sometimes all you got to do is just stand there with someone. Just be present with them during their tough times, and that's enough. For 10 years, I was a police chaplain that notified people when their loved ones died. I didn't know them. I didn't necessarily know the circumstances, but I would go and knock on the door, and then I would sit with them during the worst time of their entire life. Well, why? People ask, how are you able to do that, Pastor Joe? And I honestly think that part of that goes back to that traumatic experience for me of wondering, sitting alone, and just wanting my father. Mary and Joseph find Jesus in the temple, and Mary asks, how could you do this to me? And look at Jesus' response. Jesus says in Luke 2:49, how is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? It's interesting. Mary's thinking, wait a minute, how could you do this to your father and I? And Jesus says, didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house? It doesn't make sense. How could you do this to your father and I? And Jesus says, I must be in my Father's house. Well, what's he talking about? His real father. He's talking about his heavenly father. And all of a sudden, for Joseph, it's a gut check moment because he's thinking, wait a minute, he knows. For Mary, it's a gut check moment, and her mind goes back months before when she heard the angels that would say to her in Luke 1, 30 and 32, when the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High." And Mary is thinking, just like Joseph, he knows who he really is. Well, some people ask the question, well, Pastor, didn't Jesus always know who he was? Why are we acting shocked that Jesus knows who he is? Let me remind you of some scriptures. It says in Philippians 2, 7, that it talks about Jesus emptying himself. He took on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. So he emptied himself of some of his divinity. And then it says in Luke 2, 52, it says Jesus grew in what? Wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. In order to grow in something, it means that you had less of that and that you're growing into it. So all of a sudden, he's growing into his identity. He has this knowledge of who he is and that purpose. And this experience in the temple is the defining moment in Jesus' life, because here he claims that God is his Father. Right after this, the very next thing that we hear about in the scripture is the story of Jesus going into the wilderness going to be baptized by John the Baptist, his cousin, right? And when he's baptized by John the Baptist, it says that the heavens open, a dove descends, and a voice from heaven says, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." It's a defining moment that happens. This is my father's house. From there he goes to baptize, and God says, "This is my son." And the next thing, he goes to the wilderness, and he's tempted there for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan says to him, "If you are the Son of God, take this bread, this stones, and turn it into bread." Throughout his whole life, this question of his identity would be foremost. The very end, when they have Jesus on trial, they would ask him, "Are you the Son of God?" And he would say, "It is as you have said." And that was enough. Take him, crucify him. So all throughout his ministry, all the way to the end, this central part of who he is, his identity, was begun on that day in the temple. And yet it's interesting, because Jesus' ministry isn't just about his claim that he's the Son of God, but he also teaches his disciples to pray this way: "Our Father." See, it's not enough for him just to understand his identity, but it's a part of him to be able to share that love with others, to help others understand that they are children of God. John 1:12 says, "To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God." And here's the last reason why I want to say that this was a central story about Jesus' childhood: because of the response of the people. Mary and Joseph found Jesus in the temple. And there he'd been asking the priest questions about the scriptures and giving answers of his understanding. And here's the response. It says in Luke 2:27, "And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers." They weren't just amazed, they were blown away. They knew this wisdom had to come from something more than just a 12-year-old boy. I want to share with you a video that I saw a few weeks ago, and it's about a young boy. I don't even think he was 12 years old, but he grew up in the remote area of Nebraska, and not very many neighbors close by him, and so there's a Christian radio station that he listens to, and he called into the radio station.
"Hey, Mike, can I talk to you?"
"You bet, Logan. What's up?"
"I want to tell you something that God just told me."
"Okay."
"Last night, my dad was roping this calf. And this calf had been born from a really old cow. She didn't have really the greatest milk. She didn't have, like, the vitamin C and stuff."
"Okay.
Hold on. Mom?"
So cute, I guess his mom was talking to him.
talking right now. I'll be up in a second.
But sorry about that. But anyway, she broke her back. And this morning I went out and put her down myself. I was talking to God. I was asking God why she was special. And God said, you know, Logan, but my son was special, but he died for a purpose. It's kind of the same thing. That calf was close to me, and God's son was close to him.
Logan, you're so right. It's true. Think you're going to be okay?
Yeah, I'll be fine. But I just wanted to tell you guys that that is so important. Just remember, when you lose a loved one or a pet, always remember that God gave his son too, and he understands. He will always understand. He will always just run to him.
Logan, you're wiser than you know, buddy.
Oh, sometimes I don't think I'm wise. Trust me, I've done a lot of stupid stuff. But I've learned from it.
Yeah, but see, buddy, that's what makes you wise. Somebody that learns from their mistakes.
Oh, I just figured I'd better call and share with you guys. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I think the last time that I checked, there were 6 million views of that, where people will be able to see a young person be able to have such wisdom and depth. Well, for Jesus, it was even deeper than that. Jesus' words caused an even greater response in the people that heard it. And that's one of the reasons why Mary is sharing it, because wherever Jesus went, people were amazed. For instance, after the Sermon on the Mount, this is what the crowd's response was. Matthew 7, 28 and 29, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd was astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. When Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus, the tax collector, guess what? Zacchaeus said, I'm going to give half that I own away to the poor, and whatever I've cheated people, I'm going to pay them back and even more. That's the kind of response that people had. When Jesus spoke to Peter, James, and John as they were fishing on the Sea of Galilee, their response was to drop their nets and follow him. When Jesus spoke, people's lives were changed. And today there are far too many of us that are Christians who we know the start. We know about Christmas, and that's great. And we know about the cross, And that's great too, that incredible sacrifice. But in between his birth and his death, we don't realize that he taught us how to live. He taught us how to live by saying, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. He taught us by saying, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. He taught us by saying, forgive as you have been forgiven. Through his parable of the Good Samaritan, he taught us who our neighbor really is. Through the parable of the talents, he taught us that we've all been blessed with an opportunity to share our gifts, and that at the end of our lives, we will be held to an account of what we did with those gifts. So as we celebrate and as we remember Jesus, we remember that not only was he someone that died for us, but that he showed us how to live. Why did Mary tell us this story? I think she told us this because it traumatically affected her, because it defined Jesus, and because of the response of the people. This is the only story we have of Jesus' childhood, and those are three reasons why. But Adam Hamilton, the author of the study that we've been looking at, Not a Silent Night, he gives us one other reason, perhaps, why we don't hear any other story of Jesus' childhood. In Luke 2, 51, this is what it says. And he, being Jesus, went down with them and came to Nazareth, and there was obedient to them. Adam Hamilton says the reason we don't hear any other stories about Jesus' childhood was because Mary probably grounded him until he was 18. It was not a silent night, but we can set the example, we can pray, and we can love them well. So the guy takes the cat. He says, this time I'm not taking any chances. He just drives willy-nilly, lefts and rights and lefts and rights, and he's driving all over the place, miles and miles away, left, right, not even counting. And then finally he opens the door, lets the cat out, and he drives back. About an hour later, he calls his wife, and he says, honey, would you go out and look on the porch and see if that cat's there? Sure enough, his wife comes back on the phone and says, yes, the cat's there. He says, can you go get the cat and put him on the phone? I need directions. Mary and Joseph thought that Jesus was what? Lost. But in reality, Jesus wasn't lost, was he? It's you and I. And he's come to this world to show us the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.